Welcome on in to the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. The playoffs are finally here. The Jazz are the number 5 seed. They will be playing against the Dallas Mavericks. And one of the really nice things about all this is that the Jazz do not have to play until Saturday. So they get basically an entire week off. They played last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. The only starter players that played for the Jazz in that game were Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, and Royce O'Neal. Bogdanovich and Mitchell sat out. And the Jazz, you know, they were playing against, you know, basically a G League team, but they look good. Juan Hernan Gomez got extended play and actually led all scorers with 22. So not a bad game. But in today's episode, what we're going to be covering, we're going to be taking a kind of in-depth look at the Dallas Mavericks. Who is this team that the Jazz are going to be playing here in the first round of the playoffs? We'll be talking about possible injury concerns that the Mavericks have currently. And then we'll be talking about what do the Jazz need to be doing to win this series. If they win this series, they'll play against the winner of the 1-8, which currently it looks like it'll be the Suns versus Clippers, which will actually be a really good series because the Clippers are almost at full strength. But anyway, let's stick with what's in front of us. The Jazz have to beat this Dallas Mavericks squad before they can even think about the second round. So who are the Mavericks this season? So the Mavericks hired a new coach this year. They hired Jason Kidd as their head coach. Jason was an amazing player during his time. One of the best passers, one of the best defenders at point guard. He was a triple-double machine. took the Nets to the NBA Finals 2 years in a row. Unfortunately, he met Shaq and Kobe the first year, and then, which was the end of the three-peat for the Lakers. And then he met Tim Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker the next year. So he never ended up, well, actually, hold on there. So he didn't end up winning a title with the Nets. He goes and he plays for quite a few more teams in his career. At the very end of his career, he went and played for the Mavericks. And that was a team that had, you know, Dirk as a superstar, of course. But then it also had Tyson Chandler, Sean Marion, Jason Terry. Pretty loaded team. And they went up against the LeBron Miami Heat, which was the first year of the Big Three in Miami. And they won a championship. And so Jason Kidd did end up winning a championship as a player. After his playing career was over, he went and coached the New Jersey Nets. And he was the coach of the team that was Brooke Lopez, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Joe Johnson, and Deron Williams, and Andre Kirilenko. That team definitely lived under expectations. They did not. They were supposed to be like the title favorite team, and they just were not anywhere near that type of team. And then it was weird. He was actually like traded as a coach. I think the Milwaukee Bucks sent the Nets like a first round pick to get Jason Kidd as their coach, which I've never heard of before, and I don't think it's happened ever since then. But anyway, so he goes to Milwaukee. It's when Giannis was still a very young player. Giannis was just barely starting to become like an all-star level type guy. And he started experimenting with playing Giannis at the point guard. Had some success there, you know, really helped develop Giannis. But as a team overall, they didn't really live up to expectation either. And then, of course, you know, the Bucks hired the Bucks replaced Kidd with Mike Budenholzer as their coach. and eventually won a championship last year and are actually in a good position to win it again this year. And so then Jason Kidd went and was an assistant coach for the Lakers under Frank Vogel when they won the championship in the bubble. And so then, you know, the Mavericks just barely hired him. And at the beginning of the year, it looked like a mistake. Their offense was stagnant. They were an okay defensive team. But as the year went on, they got a lot better on the defensive end. And he started to figure out how to run this offense around Luka. And then at the trade deadline, that's when things really changed for this Mavericks team. They traded Kristaps Porzingis to the Wizards, and in return got Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. Spencer Dinwiddie immediately came in and was a perfect fit next to Luka. He's exactly the guy that you need to put next to Luka, where he can create with the ball in his hands, you know, as well. But what you really need around Luka is somebody that can catch and shoot, or can create when the play doesn't go as planned. You only got a few seconds left on the shot clock and go out and create their own shot with that last little bit. And then, of course, Spencer Dinwiddie can go out there and run the bench unit along with Jalen Brunson. So he was a great pickup there. And then Davis Bertans, you know, the Wizards were so loaded with centers and power forwards that he really wasn't getting any time with them. And he goes to the Mavericks, and now they run this bench unit with him and Maxi Kleba that they can space five out, and they've had great success with that. And overall, they've just been playing so much better as a team since they made that trade. And funny enough, the Wizards have been playing so much better as a team since they made that trade as well. Even with Bradley Beal injured, the Wizards have looked like a better team with Kristaps Porzingis as their guy instead of having Dinwiddie and Bertans on the roster. So it was one of those rare trades where both teams win. So let's go over the makeup of this team. So first off, Luka Doncic he's the star. I think he's 22 at this point. Still extremely young. He's about 6'7". He's a bigger guy, probably close to 240, 250. Plays a lot like James Harden, where he's never going to kill you with his athleticism, but he's just so crafty, and he has so many different moves and counters to those moves. He has great footwork that he's able to run an offense basically as the main guy, and everybody else just kind of revolves around him. And then, of course, you have Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie, for most of his career, has been like a bench point guard, combo guard type player. He's about 6'6". He's a decent defender, but what his big skill is he's a guy that, like Jordan Clarkson for the Jazz, can get hot and can put up 20 points in a quarter. You know, probably a lot more efficient than Jordan Clarkson is, though. And then they also have Jalen Brunson, who is a Sixth Man of the Year type candidate. He's a 6'1" guard out of Villanova. He won a national championship with Villanova. Just a hard-nosed player. Just really gets after it. Decent defender, even though he's only 6'1". And then finally on the guard line, you have Tim Hardaway Jr. About 6'6", 205 pounds. He's one of those guys that really wants to be Kobe, but he's just not that skilled. So he ends up being more of a, you know, fringe starter, bench scorer type guy. Okay defender. And then once you start to move into the wings, the forwards, you have Dorian Finney-Smith, which this is a guy that I really wanted the Jazz to be, you know, really try and go get him. And maybe they did. Maybe they made a call and tried to get Dorian Finney-Smith. But he's basically a better Royce O'Neal. He's a couple inches taller. He's about the same level shooter, but he can defend more positions. He's a better rebounder. Dorian Finney-Smith is a player that I really like. And then when you move to the power forward center position, they have a lot of these guys that are kind of tweeners between power forward and center. Maxi Kleba, you know, 6'10" guy out of Germany, decent 3-point shooter, really good defender. Last year when the Mavericks were playing the Clippers in the playoffs, they actually put Maxi Kleba on Kawhi Leonard, even though, you know, Kleba is seen as kind of a slower guy. You know, he's about 6'10", 250, you know, doesn't seem like he can move very well. He was able to stay in front of Kawhi and not stop him. I mean, you're not going to stop Kawhi, but he at least made life difficult for the guy. And then, of course, you have Davis Bertans, who I talked about before, can come off the bench and just starts shooting tons of threes. And he'll fire from like 8-10 feet behind the three-point line. He's not really one that can play the center also like Kleba can. He's really power forward only. And then you have a guy like Marquese Chriss, about 6'9". His primary position's more center at this point, but extremely athletic, a decent defender, pretty good rebounder. He can space out to three, but it's not like his preferred thing to do. He'd rather take shots from like 15 to 17 feet. Then you have Dwight Powell, who will probably be the starting center. Just a pick and roll lob threat type guy. Decent defender. But more it just in there for his athleticism. And then, of course, off the bench, you have Boban Marjanovic, someone that, depending on the matchup, he may get no minutes or he may get 25. It just depends on who they're playing. I don't think he'll get much playing time with against Jazz because I'm pretty sure the Mavericks are going to try and go small and kind of space the floor out and make life harder on Rudy Gobert. Let me see. Am I forgetting anybody with this Mavericks team? Let's see. They have Trey Burke, who's a, you know, bench guard that can come in and do a little bit of scoring for them. Sterling Brown is a wing that, you know, 6'5", can come in, defend a few different guys. But for the most part, you know, those guys that I talked about and listed, that's their team. Oh, they also have Reggie Bullock, who was kind of seen as their big signing in the offseason. He hasn't worked out great. He's been an okay defender for them, but his three-point shooting has not been nearly as good as it was last year in New York. So next, there is a bit of an injury concern for the Mavericks. In their last game of the season, for whatever reason, they decided to play Luka Doncic. I don't know why they decided to play him. I would have just let him sit. You know, your playoff seeding was set. They were going to be the 4th seed no matter what. I would have sat him. Well, during the game, he strained his calf. And if you've listened to my podcast before, you know that calf injuries, especially for basketball players, is not something to take lightly. Because that's right next to the Achilles. And a lot of times, guys that have sore, strained calves, they're the ones that, you know, the next game they play, you hear about them tearing their Achilles, and now they're out for a season or more. Now, like I said, the game isn't until Saturday, which the game is Saturday at 11, which is really kind of weird. I mean, it's 12 o'clock Dallas time, but still, that's really early for an NBA game. But anyway, I'm sorry if you can hear the rain dropping. It's starting to rain pretty hard around here, and I'm, you know, just driving home from work. But I'll try to, you know, keep the audio consistent here. But anyway, so Luka does have, you know, the next 6 days or so to recover from that and be ready for game one. But I know they're going to do an MRI on it, and if it's something serious, it could be more than 6 days for him to play again. Now, I don't think it's going to be. I think he'll probably be just fine and be ready to go for game one. And so we'll get into the final topic I wanted to talk about today, and that's, what does this Jazz team need to do to beat the Mavericks? Well, first off, you need to figure out who's guarding Luka Doncic. I think as long as Dwight Powell is in the game, you really have no problem with just putting Rudy on Dwight and, you know, having him next to the basket. But I imagine for most of the time that Rudy is in, they're going to try and have Maxi Kleba or Davis Bertans or Marquese Chriss out there to space the floor and make it to where either Rudy has to guard somebody else or he's got to be spaced out. Or try and leave one of the bad shooters wide open like they tried to do last year with the Clippers. And so there's a lot of thought that at least for some spots in the game, Rudy's going to go one-on-one against Luka. And while I think Rudy's probably the best guy that could handle him on the team, it's not what you want Rudy doing. And if that's what's happening, the Mavericks are going to send guys cutting to the basket so that Luka can try and hit them, and there's going to be nobody at the rim to stop them. You know, 6'5", Royce O'Neal is not going to stop, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. as he's cutting to the rim or whoever it is. So I think Rudy's main matchup is probably going to have to be Luka Doncic unless Dwight Powell is in the game. So if Dwight Powell is in and Rudy can guard him, who do you put on Luka? And the first thought is you put Royce. Royce guards the other team's best player. You know, that's what you do. But I kind of have a different thought on that. I would want to put Bojan Bogdanović on it. Now, Bojan's not seen as a great defender, but he's 6'8". He's a big-bodied guy, and he tries really hard on the defense end. He's not great. Like, he doesn't have amazing foot speed, but you don't need amazing foot speed to guard Luka Doncic. You just need to be smart. You need to stay in front of him and anticipate what it is he's going to do next. I really think that Bojan could take on the challenge of doing that. And then maybe, you know, you just cycle between him, Royce, and Daniel House on Luka. So, as far as the defense goes, that's kind of what I think the Jazz need to be doing, is as much as they can, have Rudy near the basket, but if he can't be there, he's got to be one-on-one with Luka Doncic. So on the offensive end, the one thing that the Jazz really need to do, and this is something that they've been struggling with all season, I don't know why. It's something that they never struggled with before, but that is they need to keep the ball moving. They cannot rely on isolation. They cannot run, you know, three possessions in a row where it's Donovan comes down, he throws a little move, does a step back, shoots a three. And then Mike Conley comes out and does the same thing. And then now it's Bojan's turn. Now they need to keep the ball moving, because when they stop moving the ball, that's when they've had these horrible collapses in the fourth quarter that they've been having all throughout the season. If they just kept the ball moving and kept looking for the open guy, they would be a lot more successful this season. I don't know why they're having so much trouble with it this year. Now, Donovan is kind of notorious for really picking it up and being a killer in the playoffs. But that's not something that the Jazz can rely on. If it happens, awesome. If he goes out there and he's bubble Donovan and he's averaging 35 points and shooting well over 40% from three and doing all that, that's awesome. That's great. But that is not what they can rely on. What they can rely on is that around Rudy Gobert, they put four really good shooters, or around Hassan Whiteside, they put four good shooters on the floor at all times. If they just keep the ball moving, eventually you will get one of those good shooters open. And then they can hit a three, or the defense will be trying so hard to stop that open three that'll leave either, you know, Rudy Gobert open at the hoop, or one of the other guys will cut to the basket and will be wide open. So that's the biggest thing for the Jazz heading on into this series, is they've got to keep the ball moving. This is not a particularly great defensive team they're playing against. Like, they're not horrible, but they're not great. And if the Jazz can just keep their offense moving, they can run the ball up the floor instead of walking it. They can, you know, keep the ball moving. They can find the open guy. They can make the extra pass. They really shouldn't have much problem on the offensive end. Where I'm worried about this Jazz team is actually the defensive end. And it's because of the reasons I said before, is they have the ability to space out Rudy, who is the best defensive player on the planet, and make him less important, less of an obstacle. If you can space him out, he can no longer cover that basket and stop everything. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode. I think before the game, I'll probably do one more Jazz Talk episode. I need to start getting some more NBA episodes out. I'm actually going to start doing kind of a season review, off-season preview for all the, any teams that are no longer in the hunt. So all the teams that didn't even make the play-in tournament, you know, teams like the Thunder, Rockets, Pistons, Magic, all of them. I'm going to start putting out episodes talking about the upcoming offseason, talking about the season they had. And then, you know, as teams start getting knocked out of the playoffs, we'll talk about them as well. But anyway, that's the end of this episode. Thank you all so much for listening, and go Jazz!